Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The one and only Russ Tanner joining us, who I always say is the only guy that snapped the ball to both DJ Shockley and David Green, although Russ says that's not correct.
Close enough,
yeah. They're one of only a small number of people. How about that?
I'll go with that.
Yeah, mortgage banker of Prime Lending, and also you can find Russ online at athenslender.com. Dr. Schnitzer, if you're listening to us, we've got to give him some props too, right?
Yeah, he's done a little bit better than I have so far career-wise.
I don't know about that.
When you're the head of spinal surgery at a hospital, you know, that ain't bad.
But that's overrated.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, doctors.
Come on. Anyway, good to see you, Russ. How are you, man?
Good morning, guys. Doing great. This is my weather, man. When the good Lord built me 36 years ago, like, this is what he created me for. So I'm all for it, baby.
Yeah. Someone said to me, they were like, ask Russ next time, is Wrightsville in South Georgia or Middle Georgia?
Well, here's the deal. It's technically Middle Georgia.
Yeah.
But it is south of the Macon-Dixon line.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you go south of that, that's the line that runs kind of Savannah to Macon. We're south of that.
So I-16 is what everybody considers like.
Yeah, but we are north. Well, we're north of I-16. I don't know. You ask too many questions. It's all a mindset. It's a mentality.
That's right. It is. Because I was going to say, is it the Middle Georgia weather or South Georgia weather that you like or don't like?
Yeah, I like the Middle Georgia weather. You know, way down south, the people that get mad, people from like Bainbridge and Valdosta, yeah, Brunswick, like they get their drawers in a wad if we say we're from South Georgia. I know you're not. Yeah. You're from Middle Georgia. So, you know, whatever. Yeah. It's hot.
I'm from Seminole County.
Yeah.
I'll tell you about South Georgia.
Yeah, go ahead, Colquitt County. We don't care. We love y'all, too.
Anyway.
Hot's hot and cold's cold, man.
I agree with that.
I know. I agree. I totally agree. But, after all the rain we've had this week,
and
even though it's
wet,
cold, yeah, I love this.
Absolutely.
I mean, this feels like football weather.
It is.
This is it.
It is. This is, you know, again, this is what football's meant to be played in. Football ain't meant to be played in the end of August when it's 104 degrees.
Yeah.
You know, nobody likes that.
No, that's not fun. Now, does this favor UMass?
I'm joking.
I'm joking.
It's an advantage.
Yeah. What favor? They don't like the cold either. You know, that's what you always say. Oh, this will favor the Packers or this will favor the Patriots. Like, maybe, but they don't like the cold weather either.
What would favor UMass is if, like, Georgia's team came down with a bad case of cholera.
The whole team.
Exactly. The entire team. Because at what point Would if Georgia puts in their second team, then it's still better than UMass. Georgia puts in the third team, still better. I mean, there's not really a point.
If it was just walk-ons,
like if every walk-on
at Georgia play, you know, maybe, but
yeah,
I'll take.
I'm
like Chris Farley. We got Ditka, you know, but I won't be like that.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a Ditka versus Hurricane. Yeah.
We'll take the dogs.
Exactly, the dogs. No, and I didn't mean it to sound like that, but it's just like it's not a – this game tomorrow is not a about, you know, what the personnel and all that stuff, right? I mean, it's about taking care of business and getting ready, not to overlook.
Don't get hurt.
Don't get hurt and, you know, make sure you're in good shape. This is the – as we talked about, this is the round of 32,
mm-hmm,
if you're still thinking of the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
Because next week would be the quarterfinal.
That's it.
And I'm sorry, the round of 16. And then the Bama game would essentially be a quarterfinal matchup.
Yeah. I mean, look, this will be, if somehow UMass beat Georgia, this would be, you know, probably the biggest upset in the history of college football. It's
it would
up
be
there.
One
I
of
mean,
them.
Who do you compare it to? App State, Michigan? I mean, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of benchmark, I think, for upsets.
But
in
this will be it. This will be it. So it ain't going to happen. So let's not play that game. So, you know, you just got to get out there. You got to execute. You know, I think the thing that the staff want to see is just that the guys are mentally ready. You know, unless Georgia just absolutely – how do I say this word?
Implodes.
Loves the dub.
Yeah.
You know, just messes up totally. There's no chance of you
winning. Wets the bed.
So you just want to see as a coaching staff, you want to see you guys come out, execute well, know the game plan, not make mental mistakes, and just move on to Tech.
And now how much, you know, the dogs, they – they practice every week at least a little bit for Tech, right?
I think so.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I would imagine.
Yeah.
Guys, we're not looking ahead to Tech, but stop this triple option. Okay.
All right. Exactly.
Coach, you messed in the gun. Not this week. They could throw it a wrinkle.
Yeah. We got to make sure. Exactly.
You should see Kirby on the sideline of practice yelling out of the team. All right, scout team, Bumblebee. Yeah. And they just get into triple option.
Uh-huh.
But you got to do that.
Absolutely.
You got to do that. I mean, it would almost be coaching malpractice not to, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it is. So, you know, I would bet money that they've seen triple option a lot this week in preparation for UMass. So,
and a UMass defense that's given up a lot of points this year and a lot of yards. So I think Georgia's feeling like, all right, we'll do well offensively Saturday, but we got to pay some attention to what's going on the following Saturday. And to me, it's like, I get it, because one of the things that Kirby says more than anything else is, whoever we're playing, well, I have a lot of respect for UMass, or I have a lot of respect for Auburn. You know, and that's what you're supposed to say, and I get it. But you also have to have a lot of respect for your own team and make sure you're taking care of business for the entire season. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and this is a week, like, honestly, you want to let the guys get in the game that have worked their tails off all year to be a part of the team but haven't had game action. Like, that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to be up 41-0 at halftime. So the second half, you know, you know how to tell when a guy's out, right, all the way, like when they're out of the game, because you can't officially be out of the game, but you know how to tell, right?
Well, how's that?
Gloves and shoulder pad straps.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So when the gloves come out, all right, then you see those big boys pulling that shirt up over their belly so you can't see the numbers anymore, and they undo the shoulder pad straps.
Yeah,
and then they try to pull the jersey back down, but it's still untucked. They look like they're in. No.
They are done.
Worst that ever happened is we were beating somebody like that one time, and ended up, we took our knee braces off.
Oh.
You got to, like, slide your knee braces off, right? Like, you're back there behind it, you know.
Right, right.
Figuring it out. And something happened, like, somebody got hurt, and they're like, Tanner, so-and-so's down, get in there. Like, okay.
Oh, man. Dope.
So, yikes. You know.
That's funny.
Yeah.
But, hey, that's good. We'll be looking for that, too.
There you go.
Now I guess you can go in the tent. Take your stuff off and no one can see you.
You probably got to fake an injury.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Like, what happened? I think I got a little rug burn on my leg.
But then everybody in the press box will be like, Tanner just went in the tent. Yeah. He'll be on Twitter.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
He's got a hamstring.
He's got a hamstring. He's got a knee.
Hamstring. Yeah. It wouldn't have been a hamstring because, by the way, you know why offensive linemen don't pull hamstrings, right? Offensive linemen never have pulled muscles. You know that. Because you can't pull fat.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like, nobody's ever pulled some fat. So offense linemen are safe. It's all these little boys whose hamstrings are like banjo strings. You know, those are the ones who pop things.
Yeah.
Tightly wound.
Look, fat boys, man, we're just shuffling down the field. We've talked about this ad nauseum this year. Like, we ain't sprinting. So, you know, you ain't going to pull no fat. So if you're going to fake an injury as an O-lineman, you can't go with a hamstring.
No.
Maybe a groin, because that's impossible to detect.
It's like, oh, I felt something in my shoulder.
Yeah, you could go a little bit of that. But then you got to watch out because you'll have extra rehab for the week and, you know.
That's not fun.
No.
Nah, that's not fun at all. So, you definitely don't want to be part of that.
There's a lot that goes into this whole football thing, guys. I'm trying to open the curtain for you.
Boy, there is a lot more than I realized. Speaking of the groin.
Who?
Yes. We found out this week, and I guess this is pretty good in this day and age for a player of DeAndre Swift's caliber to have a little bit of surgery back in the spring and not really the word get out. It's pretty amazing. But so we found out this week that DeAndre actually had some, I don't know to what extent, but some kind of surgery. And that explains why he might have gotten off to a slow start.
And now he's exploding.
His slow start's still good, but not. But look at him now.
Now we got his dad, who might be the scariest man in the Southeast, throat slashing people.
Hello.
Have y'all seen the picture of that dude, like, at the SC Championship game last year with a Swift jersey on?
Mm-hmm.
Seen his arms?
He is very well put together.
Yeah. It ain't good when, like, me and my wife, she's like, let me see a picture of DeAndre Swift's dad. I pull a picture up. She's like, man, he's jacked. I take him. when he's not looking, I'd hit him. Nah. So, yeah, no, that's a big dude. So, yeah, Swift coming back, though, man, like, it's amazing. You can tell when a guy like that is 100% because, you know, his little crossover cutback step.
I was going to say, it's not the 77-yard run.
No.
It's the other run, you know, that's just those moves he has.
Yeah, it's making people look like ridiculous scrubs on the field when he goes to tackle them, and they're on their heels falling. If you ever see a defensive player fall and land flat on his butt, like, you know somebody's done put them things to you.
Or even, like, there's a couple on Swift where, like, he'll go right and then make that cut left, and you'll just see the DB like slide by like in a fall, like slide on his belly, like off to the side. It's almost like he's like on a slip and slide, just like going out.
But you know, the fun thing to me about Swift, and I saw it twice last week, is in the first half. So he's got this thing right. He does that like high step skip almost, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And in the first half, so guys know he's got that cutback. So defensive players, you watch enough film, you know it's coming. But what did he do two or three times in the first half last week? He high step and then put his freaking shoulder in a dude.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, so, you know, he sets him up. Because when he does that and then just goes downhill and just tries to crush him.
Well, because they're on their back heels trying to figure, you know.
Not get
like,
cut on.
I don't want to get cut on. And so they're not going forward. Yeah. So he can just kind of lean in and make them fall over.
Yeah, basically. And I don't know if you've ever had your sternum crushed by another man. But when he does it two or three times, like, you don't want that no more. Yeah. So then you start backing up and a cutback kills you. So
you get smashed in the junum.
He sets it up, man. It's a beautiful thing to watch.
And the fact that it's almost like you've had the first half of the season to kind of like let him recover, and now he's maybe a little bit fresher than he would have been.
I don't know what it is, but he looks good.
And Holyfield has really improved this year too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He's faster than you think he is too.
Exactly. He's not as dynamic as Swift, but he's really
yards.
Improved. Exactly. Exactly.
You know, the one that always shocks me, because every time he goes in, and I'm sorry if he's listening, I'm sure he's a great kid, but every time Brian Herrien goes in, I'm like, why are we putting Herrien in? Well, okay, he got 11 yards. But
exactly.
But why holy, Herrien's in again. I mean, I know he got a first down, but, you know, so that guy doesn't play a lot, but you could tell, like, the coaches love him. He must work his tail off. And Brian Herrien is the king of two more yards. Like, every time he's running, like, the dude gets two more yards.
Yeah.
So,
That's funny you say that, because he's that guy that, like, he'll carry the ball and you think the play's over and you're writing something down. You look up and it's like you said, two or three more yards added on to what you thought you were going to see. And he's the kind of guy, I mean, I'm not trying to rain on the running backs parade, because we talked about this before. I mean, you know, if you're Brian Herrien in this day and age of graduate transfers and going somewhere and getting a lot of totes, he'd be a guy that would certainly be a candidate for that. But it also comes down to the fact, too, it's like, how much do you love your school?
Yeah.
You know, how much do you love Georgia? And, you know, does going somewhere else guarantee that it's going to be a next step in your career? I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's what these guys have to think about now, since they can play immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all didn't have to worry about that kind of stuff.
No, I wasn't. Transfer,
that wasn't a rule.
No, it wasn't a thing.
Yeah, but it is now. So – and we've benefited, and Georgia's benefited from it. Mm-hmm. So would it be, I don't know, would it be, what am I trying to say? You know, you're speaking out of both sides of your mouth if one of Georgia's guys leaves to go somewhere else and play.
I think it's going to who the kid is in the situation.
Yeah.
Like, if Herrien was to leave, nobody would begrudge him.
Yeah.
Because, excuse me, he's done exactly what he needs to do. He's been a great guy. He's been a huge fill-in for this team.
Right.
And he's needed at some points, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, if he gets a chance to go and leave after he's put the years in, like, he gets that blessed moniker of a DGD.
That's right. Exactly.
After, say, even if he transfers.
No, exactly. There's a much different feel that, like, if a Herrien were to transfer as opposed to, I don't know, say number one.
Yeah. It would be. You know, when a guy's proven himself, does a good job, but it's clear that – you know, he's not going to be the man. And it's very clear for Brian Herrien. Like, he's never going to be the man at Georgia.
Right. Because Georgia has Zamir White.
Coming back, who a lot of people say may be the best running back on the roster right now. You know, you got James Cook, another freshman, who's going to be really good. You know, they're going to sign another running back or two this year that'll be really good.
The one that committed.
Yeah, Kenny McIntosh.
Yeah.
And they may take another one. So, you know, but Herrien's a program guy, man, and you got to have him. So, you know, I guarantee you Kirby Smart wouldn't trade Brian Herrien at this point in the season.
Absolutely
for just
not
anybody. So,
but you're right. If he's one of those that if he did, you'd be like, hey, I get it.
Yeah.
Georgia's benefited from these graduate transfers and all of Kirby's years, so it's inevitably going to happen.
J.R. Reed. I mean, you've had some really
Cam Nisolag. Yeah.
J.R. Reed was a grad transfer.
Oh, was a grad transfer.
He was just a transfer.
Oh, I was going to say he's been like 8 years.
Yeah. No, just a transfer. But like you said, Mo Smith, Nisolag. Who was the offensive line? Catalina.
Oh, Tyler Catalina.
And look, I know that was a rough year, but Georgia really needed that guy 2 years ago.
By the way,
needed him.
By the way, this is, you know, I love making contests on y'all's show
yeah.
on the spot. I think I should open one up to our listeners. Like, which player do you remember having the longest career at Georgia? So, to me, the guy I always go to, Sam may not even remember this,
yeah,
but it was Chris McCraney.
Oh, my gosh.
I swear, Chris McCraney was a punt returner for like 14
years.
14 years.
So, yeah, he was. He got a special exemption 10 different times from the from the NCAA to keep
playing. I think all players with the longest careers are always white wide receivers. Because for some reason, you remember those
Clemson guys?
I don't know. Brendan Douglas felt like he was here for
Yeah, well, you know.
Hunter Renfro at Clemson.
Hunter Renfro, exactly.
That guy's been at Clemson for a decade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyways, let's open that up to the people. Like, who's the longest tenured player in your mind? Ooh. Without looking at stats.
No, we'll get some comments on that. Tony emailed in and said, who wins a fight, a my dad fight between Swift and Swift's dad and Holyfield's dad?
Ooh.
That's a good question.
Oh, man.
Current day? I'm taking Swift's dad. Man, that dude is a tank.
Yeah.
Have you seen Holyfield, though, lately?
He looking good, too?
Well, he hadn't let himself go.
Really? No. Yeah, Amanda got him hands, though.
I know, and that jaw. I don't know, man. I don't know. That would be – let's make that happen. We need to get Swift's dad and Holyfield to fight.
Yeah, we'll do it for charity.
Absolutely. I think that would be fantastic.
But, of course, as every good son would rightfully say – my dad would beat all of them up. So
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, no, I mean, no one – but, it's like, do you want to fight your own dad? No.
No, I tried that once.
People get scared of that, man. You know,
it didn't go well.
Dad's always dead.
My dad's 80, and I ain't fighting him. Yeah.
Jesse Johnson would lay the smack down on you.
Yeah, I'm not fighting my dad. No way.
Yeah, I can tell you about the last time I did. It ended up when my daddy punched me in the chest, almost killing me, slammed me on the ground and put his knee on top of me and said, if you ever, and I mean ever, try me again, I will hurt you.
Yeah, speaking of getting cracked in
so,
the sternum.
So what caused that last week?
Last week, yeah.
Yeah.
No. Well, I can take him now. As long as he didn't connect. My dad's a decent mechanic, man. His hand's like twice the size of mine. He's been turning a wrench for 40 years. Like,
no.
You don't want that man to hit you.
No.
I'm just telling you.
I'm telling you. I've met your dad several times.
Yeah, he's a grown man.
No, I ain't. No. Absolutely not. I don't care.
Old man strength is what
exactly
the dad strength.
It's a thing.
Yeah, they will always be stronger than you, just because that's how it is.
Well, and as you know, I've got sons, and right now my sons are 6 and 7, so I can beat the crap out of them any time. But you know, a day's coming.
That's right.
A day's coming when they're gonna try me. And you realize that what you've got to do as a dad, and you lay this groundwork early, by the way. You go ahead and lay the fear down in them.
Yeah.
Like, you go ahead and let them know, like, you are not afraid to hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody called DFAC. I don't abuse my child. But sometimes, I'm not going to lie to you, you frog them in the leg one time, like, they know what's coming. Because when you get to be, like, 16 or 17, your dad will hurt you. Like, he will punch you in the throat, speaking of the groin. Like, he'll do whatever he's got to do because he is not going to lose. So, you know, that's what happens.
I love it. It's true, though. I like these emails coming in now, too. Let's see here.
Harman says Michael Bennett.
Michael Bennett. Yeah, really. He was at Georgia for a long
time. Again, I'm telling you, man.
Wide receiver.
They're going to go down the list of white wide receivers.
I bet David Green felt like that to a lot of schools.
Yeah, maybe so.
You know?
Anytime a guy that has played 4 years, been around 5 or 6. You
know. Yeah, Aaron Murray, similar. I mean, he played his whole career.
He was a 4-year starter and a red shirt.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. Jeremy says, Swift's dad has a sweet beard, but it's the real deal all day. And then he says, Aaron Murray for longest tenured dog felt like he was the QB for a decade.
I mean, Evander Holyfield beat up Mike Tyson.
That's a valid point.
Like that.
I got Evander. Yeah, I know. That's a valid. It's fun. This is like the, you know, can Bama beat the Bills conversation?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You want to say so, but at the end of the day, when they step on in the arena – all right.
That's what I'm saying. That's all you have to say. Did you beat up Mike Tyson? Yes or no? If the answer is yes, then I'm not messing with you.
That's a valid point.
Lawson says, not football, but what about Derek Obede right now for the Dogs? For basketball.
Yeah, Obede's been around here for a while. There's no question about that. Feels like he's been here forever. Although I just got an interest. Mike Edwards, too. Brandon Sutherland.
Yeah.
And Tavarius King. That's another good one. He felt like he was here for a long time.
TK. He showed up last week.
He was bald. He shaved his head.
He did look different.
I was like.
Were you at the game last week? Yeah. So they for inexplicably left off. But that was cool the way they covered it back up. That
Devin,
was awesome.
When they left him off the first time, he threw his hands up. He was like, what?
Yeah.
I thought he handled it well, though.
No, he did.
He laughed a little bit. That's
fun. Hey, things happen.
Hey, it was a moment. to humble yourself.
So, you know, by the way, going the opposite route of humbling yourself, you know, UGA athletic directors, I'm available to be on the field for recognition as well. just throwing it out there.
Well, let's see here.
It's embarrassing, man, when your kids say, Daddy, why don't you get on the field?
Well, did y'all have
so important that I don't even have to get on anymore.
Last year was the 15th anniversary, right, of the O2 team.
I don't know. Was it?
So
yeah.
In two years, you'll have the 15th anniversary of the 05 team. Do they only do years that end in zero?
I think it's tens.
Oh, they don't do 15s?
Nah.
They should.
Yeah.
Listen to that. They should because
I should get me out there.
I'm for that. Yes. You know, my kids were trying to put me down, so I took them to the Buttsman and showed them my two Heismans.
That's right.
Did y'all do a 10-year? Did y'all do one?
Yeah. Okay. I was there. 15. I was there in 15.
Brooke Whitmire got your name right and all
that? Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Brooke's my guy. We're tight.
Oh, yeah.
Not really, but we are friends.
No, he's awesome. He's awesome. All right, we'll take a quick time out.
Hit him in the chest with it. One time again in the head. But Buddy Roll, y'all. Check it out.
8:31 back here on the morning show. We are presented by St. Mary's Healthcare System. Sam Franco, David Johnson, and Russ Tanner with you.
Prime Lending. AthensLender.com.
Baby, because I'm a thug.
Well timed.
The thug himself, Russ Tanner.
Yeah, I'm so thuggish.
You do kind of make me think of that, yeah. Like, I make you think of the same thing, right? Of course. It is chilly outside. We keep it cold here in the studio, too, though. Sam, you got the same, like, keep the play.
I'm much better. I function much better in cooler weather than if it's too hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We know where Russ stands on that. He already told us that this morning.
I'm a bear, baby. I like it cold. I got the extra layer of protection and a little bit of fur. So, you know.
You are the bear. Russ the bear Tanner. Yes. And I'm lucky, too, that the Mrs., she likes it cooler, too, at night, so we don't have to fight over temperatures. Do you have to deal with that, or is everybody good?
My wife tried to put the electric blanket on the bed last night.
Now, I do like the electric blanket. I'm not going to lie.
I hate the electric blanket.
To me, you get cold, then you go jump in the bed with the electric blanket, then you turn it off,
and then
it just all kind of comes together.
But when your wife is like, you know, 5 months pregnant, just so y'all know, there ain't much arguing with that.
Well, that's true.
There ain't much you can do.
That's true.
I pretty much just sleep with, like, and it's not even like a comforter. It's more like one of those sheets.
Yeah.
Like, that's basically what I cover with.
The emails rolling in. Russ, you want to hit a couple of them?
Yeah, hit me up.
Let's see what
I'll try to be quick for you.
Our man Keith just emailed in a moment ago, and he wants to know, did we see the Ed Oliver situation last night with Houston? He says, where Major Applewhite told him to take off his first team jacket or whatever it was. And Keith says, craziest thing I think I've seen during a game is Major Applewhite making an example of him for taking the rest of the season off.
Absolutely. So Ed Oliver had a jacket on that only players in the game are allowed to have on. Major Applewhite made him take it off during the game, and there was a blow-up on the field. It's crazy to see that, but you could tell, like, for that to happen – that ain't the first time that they've had a little bit of a tiff between them. So, Applewhite is obviously ticked about it, and Oliver wasn't trying to hear that. So,
Did you see it, Sam?
I heard about it. So it was just a jacket?
So he had a jacket. Like, the players put on, like, over their shoulder
pads. Right.
And he's in street clothes.
Yes.
And he had it on, and it comes over there, and you could tell Applewhite's telling him to take the jacket off. And apparently he said after the game, he confirmed that's what it was about. He said that that's only for active players can wear those jackets.
He said he wasn't the only – I mean, he said Oliver wasn't the only guy he said it to. And he basically was saying, you know, am I just going to let him slide because he's who he is?
Right.
You know, maybe a number one overall draft pick. I don't know. But, he said, I had said it to other guys, too. It wasn't just him.
Well.
So.
You know.
I don't know. For me, just – you know, just hearing about it and not having super a whole lot of context behind it, that seems like Major Applewhite might be worrying about the wrong thing.
Or like Russ said, it wasn't just about that.
Well, of course, right. Yeah. There's other, I mean,
who knows? There's a lot more to it, but I don't see you getting mad as a coach for a guy having a jacket on. I mean, it's cold out there.
Yeah. So, which, by the way, I didn't think of this until just now, but it's kind of the same thing. Was the fake field goal about the fake field goal, or was there more than that?
No, it wasn't about the fake field goal.
Well, let's hear your take on the fake field goal.
I don't know what it was about, but I don't think it was about the fake field goal.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I think.
It might have been about a little bit of end-around action last year when they were up 23 points in the fourth quarter.
I think it might have just been a whole collection of things.
I think so, too. It's probably been building.
Dog crap.
Yeah, I think that's probably a lot of it.
Yeah, so, yeah.
You know, Kirby has not called me to tell me how he feels about Gus, so I can't speculate on that. But, you know, you feel like that's trying to send a message during that play, so yeah.
I mean, college football coaches have memories like elephants, man. They'll forget these things.
No, they know. What's next?
Let's see here. Our man Stevie T. He says we were talking about trick plays or something last week. The center sneak. Did you ever have an opportunity to do the center sneak?
Nope. Campaigned hard for it. Made my case. Showed my skills. Never was considered.
So how does that work?
Like, it doesn't. So you got to snap it to the quarterback.
Right.
They hand it back to the center.
Just,
then he stands there for a little bit. And, you know, hey, six-year-old Titans are playing this weekend. Might be time for the center sneak from Maruski.
Here's the thing. This funny you mention that. Stevie T says, tell us the secret trick play your son's team ran last week that you wouldn't reveal.
Huh?
You were saying you had a play set up that y'all may or may not run.
Put in bubble screen.
Ooh.
Is that giving away anything for this weekend?
Nah, let them stop it.
Oh!
When we line up with Sam and Colt at wide receiver blocking with Boogie behind them, just so you know, bubble screen's coming. Try to stop it. I dare you.
The bubble screen.
I like it.
Look out.
And we do have a new play in this week called Sneaky Sneak.
Oh!
You can't reveal that.
No, you can later. Yeah, it's just called Sneaky Sneak.
Okay. So we know what it's called. We just don't know what
it is.
Look,
we do code words. Like, we've got another play. We line up, and literally all I do is yell, special, special, and my kids know what the play is. So we can go no huddle.
What about the other teams? They do it too?
I don't know. We don't worry about the other team. We worry about what we can control.
Stevie T says, Swift Holyfield, certainly interesting, but I want to see Sam fight that 105-pound guy.
That was 85 pounds.
So that's even worse.
The dude on Ace Ventura?
Well, no. So Dave and I have had this thing going for a while now.
Is he a boxer or a UFC guy?
He's a boxer.
Okay.
Yeah, he's like the smallest like class of boxer. He's like 85 pounds.
How much do you weigh?
Like 230.
No, I got you.
Thank you. Thank you. No, but thank you, Russ.
He's bigger than that. He's like 105, isn't he?
I'll take Sam.
Thank you.
I don't think Sam can catch him.
That's the thing. All I got to do is bear hug that dude, and I will squeeze the life out of him.
You just got to go in.
That's what I'm saying.
You got to tuck your head down so he doesn't hit you in the chin.
Take those pops a little
bit. He's not going to have enough power to knock you out in all likelihood.
And then just grab him.
Grab him.
Oh,
if you get your hands on him, I feel like you got him.
Thank you. That's all. That's all I've been saying. I just got to get my hands on him.
I want to see it. I want to see it.
I got personal experience with this. So no, girth goes a long way.
All right, let's see here. What else do we have? Rob sent us a very nice email. Thank you very much, Rob. We do appreciate that. Just thanking us for he enjoys listening to us. All right, Michael says, this is our man Michael K. in Jefferson. He said, would like Russ's take on the rugby-type scrums on run plays. One of the first run plays I remember from Saturday was Holyfield took the handoff and ran behind Mays. Towards the end of the run, Mays turns around, grabbed Holyfield around the top of the shoulder pads, and falls backwards for about another 4 yards.
Yeah.
Which you can do now.
Yeah.
That illegal. Used to be illegal.
Right. No, I think,
but you can push the pile.
And you should be able to. I think you should, because without the push the pile thing, it turns into a referee judgment call.
On when the play
stops. And nobody likes that.
No.
You know, like, I like that rule and another one. I'm not sure what the college rule is with this, but in the NFL, there's no force out on passes anymore to the sideline. Either you're in or you're out, right? You don't have to judge if the guy would have came down in bounds. In this situation, you don't have to judge if the forward progress had to stop. When he's down, he's down. When he stops, he stops. So let him do it.
Yeah. What are you laughing at, Sam?
Well, no, just the whole idea of, you know, pushing the pile. And, like, it just takes me back to, like, times when the play wasn't legal, you know?
Yeah.
And you remember, was it Notre Dame, USC?
Oh, yeah, the Matt Leinart
when
play.
Reggie Bush just shoved Matt Leinart into the end zone. Yeah. It's like, what?
No call on that.
No.
But that was at the
time. Yeah, that was kind of like what
now
we're talking
about. Now
it's fine. Man, now you can do that.
Yeah. Maybe that's what the officials were thinking.
Yeah, they were like, well, we gave it to him then, so might as well just
I'm for it.
All right, we've had some more.
Of course you are. You're an offensive line.
That's right. More suggestions on players that were around for a while. On Twitter, Roy says, Max Strong was in the NFL for 47 years. He was. He was good, man. Mac, he might be the best, let me see how to phrase this, the best NFL player Georgia's ever had that you didn't know of, that you
that's
never
true.
Heard,
it's a good
that
point.
You never heard
as
of.
As far as longest tenure.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I mean, he was in the league forever.
You're talking about long tenures. What about Ben Watson?
No, but I'm just saying, but Ben Watson is.
Well, he's got recognition.
He's recognition. Cool. I don't think Mac Strong, I don't think anybody knew much
Georgia,
about him.
50% of Georgia fans could not tell you a thing about Mac Strong.
Exactly.
Other than maybe that he's a fullback.
That he's a fullback. Do you know where he was from?
I have no idea.
Columbus.
Okay.
And he played his career, basically, I think was his entire career, or at least 95% of it, with the Seahawks.
He was with Seattle for the longest.
That's another reason why, just because
he went to the exact opposite end of the country.
Exactly, exactly. But no, Mac Strong is for NFL is a great example.
I just couldn't believe now that not only is Ben Watson still playing, he's an integral part of New Orleans offense.
Yeah,
well, and he's 37 years old.
Well, Ben is a physical freak.
Yes,
I saw that man bench press 575 pounds, and he's got long arms. Like, that should not happen. Most big bench pressers, their arms go about a foot and a half past their chest when they stretch them out.
Yeah.
Because what's that saying? If they were an inch shorter, they'd be a ball. Like, that's how most big bench pressers are. That's not Ben. He looks like a Greek god with long arms, so he's a freak.
As impressive as that is, though, I think the play where he ran down Champ.
Yes, that is the most impressive thing I've ever seen.
You know the one I'm talking about?
I mean, because he was on the other side of the field. He went corner to corner.
Yes. That was incredible. If you haven't seen that, you can go find it.
I bet if you ask Champ, what's the one NFL play you have that you regret the most, it would be not scoring that touchdown. It's like, dude, you were inches away, and Ben Watson's nah, player.
That was cool seeing him back last week.
Yeah.
He just hadn't had that many chances because he's been, playing in the NFL for so long. And Boss being recognized for the Georgia-Florida game and love the Baileys. Love the Baileys. Speaking of Baileys, no relation, but Jason says Sean Bailey was at Georgia for a while, wasn't he? Talking about guys that seem like they're around for a while.
He was a four-year guy.
Yeah, that's funny stuff. So, anyway, good stuff coming at us. Oh, through the interwebs. Our man Leaf says Ty Fricks. I know Ty.
You know why? Because there's been 14 Fricks guys as long as that.
Exactly.
And they all wear the same jersey number.
Exactly.
So,
He said, Ty dressed for the 08 Bama blackout, got tackled, run over by Dez Bryant at Oklahoma State, and also played in the 2012 SEC Championship
game. Golly.
That's a career.
And then Leaf does say, and his brother came in wearing the same number. So you guys are on the same page. And he says, in terms of other teams, Chris Leak at Florida has to be mentioned.
Oh, my gosh. That is a good one.
I was trying to think from other teams, guys that were around forever.
Oh, yeah.
That seemed like.
To me, the current one is that Jake Browning guy at Washington.
Yeah. I'd agree with that.
And I think it's because I confuse him with Jake Locker.
That's true. That
he's
probably
at Washington,
helps,
so I think he's got a 9-year career now.
Sam noticed that every quarterback they have now on the roster is named Jake or Jacob.
Jake or Jacob. So who's going to be starting? It'll be Jake.
Yeah.
Alton says, wasn't Colton Houston at UGA for 39 years?
Yeah, our man Logan Booker also
threw out Colton Houston. And he's a good story too, just because all the crap that he had to go through.
Yeah, because he
finally got
back on the
field.
He had the whole drug testing issue.
The false that they finally got the NCAA overturned. Yeah, they didn't do anything wrong.
But. Right, because it was his steroids that were in his body or whatever were from a surgery or something.
Yeah,
right?
Like his junior year in high school.
Right, and it just they kept testing
There's
him and it kept showing up.
There.
Oh, just brutal. Just brutal. And Colton's a good dude, too, so I was happy that worked out there for him. I think that's it. Tony also says on the Ed Oliver situation has to do with some people that saying he's healthy and not playing to protect his NFL career.
Man got to make a business decision at some point. Houston 7-4. I mean, maybe they get to the Shreveport Bowl. He's about to make $50 million. I ain't saying it's right, but I'm saying I understand it.
I also don't think that's something you do right. That was a bad time to do that. If you're Major Applewhite.
Well, to me, it's like the situation, and I'm not talking about the Major Applewhite thing, but that's, to me, the difference between what Bosa did to Ohio State and some of these other guys. Because to me, it's like he left his team while they're still in the hunt for something.
Right.
If a guy's sitting out like Russ says, the Independence Bowl, that's one thing.
Well, and honestly, you can respect Bosa a little bit more because he just straight up said it, right? We can take honesty.
Yeah.
You come out and say, look, I'm hurt. I may get back this year. I may not. But if I get back and get hurt, it's going to really hurt my NFL draft stock. And we're talking about financial security for generations of your family. You know, you say that out loud, people understand.
Well, and who was the Michigan tight end that played Butt?
Jake Butt.
Jake Butt, he played in the Orange Bowl,
and
got hurt. And
dropped
you know,
3 rounds.
Exactly. Yeah. So you can't blame these kids.
Yeah. But again, and that's like, if they want to play, and they, I mean, that's fine. It just seems a little different, and maybe I'm being hypocritical, but it seems a little different for the guys that do it when their team still got something, like the big prize is still out there. And in Bosa's situation, I mean, I understand it. I think, you know, the money his brother makes, he could probably, you know, help a brother out a little bit, too, if he needed a little coin coming his way.
Probably so.
It ain't like, you know, his family's, you know, in the other side of the tracks kind of situation.
Well, and the Boses have been kind of interesting just because Joey, remember, held out for so long.
Right.
You know, I think his was kind of the same deal as Roquan with that offset language.
Right, right.
Which is ridiculous. But it's just it's that family's kind of got an interesting, you know, track record or whatever going into this now.
I mean, I get it. I get it. You know, you can – Le'Veon Bell's making a business decision. You might disagree with the way he's doing it, but – he's trying to make a business decision.
Well, and he's also fighting a system that just churns out running backs like they're, you know, Pez.
Yeah.
But then he turned down $14 million this year.
He did.
Man, exactly. Come on,
but
dog.
But that's the thing. It's because that $14 million now is great, but that doesn't, at least in his mind, that doesn't secure his long-term future.
The funny thing is these NFL owners, they've proven they can be stubborn about signing players that if they think is, you know, trying to – trick the system or do something to the system.
They might collude him.
Yeah.
Out.
No.
And here's the thing. James Conner is not Le'Veon Bell, but look at his numbers. They're Le'Veon type numbers.
Yep.
That's not helping Le'Veon in.
No. Especially if he was going to be a distraction. Because, look, football for these coaches and these administrators, all these guys in charge, so much of it is about limiting distraction.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because people
the
forget.
The outside noise.
Yeah,
or
people
whatever.
Forget that, like, football players are just normal dudes. You know, they ain't that special.
Right.
You know, they got girlfriends. They got families. They got class. They got money to worry about. They got to pay rent.
Yeah.
Like, you got all this normal stuff. And the more that goes on, the harder it is to focus on the task at hand. And, you know, you want to limit distractions. So if a guy like that's coming in and every day it's a circus around him and people are looking like, oh, what's he thinking? Where's he at? Can we talk to Le'Veon? Is he out today? Is he going to be hurt? You know, coaches don't want that.
You know,
get rid of him.
He's got like 15 different cell phone bills he's got to pay.
Man.
He's got his posse.
Talk to Lamar Odom.
Or Antoine Walker was another.
Was he the one?
Yeah.
Antoine Walker.
But
I remember Brame telling me, he was like, yeah, that show, the Kardashian, not the one with Khloe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Khloe and Lamar.
Khloe and Lamar, yeah.
And he was saying that, like,
Khloe was like
there was an episode where she was like, you got to quit paying all these people's cell phone bills.
He's paying like 10 cell phone bills.
Yeah, he's like, we're going to knock this out right now.
I'll say this, getting back to Le'Veon Bell here before he hit the break. He's just, again, he's trying to, the Steelers are notorious for being stingy and cheap. And one thing is, like, a lot of people are thinking with James Conner, it's like, even if Bell doesn't come back, it's like, they're going to use up James Conner as much as they can, and they're not going to give him any long-term money either, because that's how they do it. And so, this is something where Le'Veon Bell's trying to kind of stick it to them and show that maybe in collective bargaining that the players need to go about this a little bit of a different way. I think it's fascinating.
Yeah. I think, again, with what Conner's done this year, it's like, Bell's good. I mean, he's a great player, don't get me wrong, but it's like... It's
he's
not
turning down $14 million.
I know.
But if the Steelers do this again with Conner, if it gets down to a point where they won't give him a long-term deal, and it's going to come back to bite them, and the owners may overshoot their or, you know, outkick their leverage.
Sam, let's take a quick timeout. All right, it's a morning show presented by St. Mary's Healthcare System. David Johnston, Sam Franco along with you, as well as our man Russ Tanner from Prime Lending. You can find Russ online at athenslender.com, and he's running a deal for you today.
What are we offering this week, Dave?
I'm always afraid to say. I am going to come up with a – Russ will hook you up with a koozie if you
that's
come by.
I got like – you know, whenever you're trying to – some market things work, some don't. When you order 1,000 koozies and you end up giving away like 47 of them – when they don't go quite as
bring a couple in. We'll trade out with you. Bring a couple in. And
no trade needed. I'll donate.
We'll just bring them anyway. Yeah.
No. I heard a commercial the other day for like some company that, you know, puts logos on pins and shirts and things like that. Yeah. And they're like, if you call us now, we'll give you a free subscription to Imprint Magazine, the online magazine for it's like the online magazine for promotional items. I'm like, first of all, I don't think that magazine exists. I think you're lying.
And secondly, I bet you don't have a subscription.
Exactly. Right, yeah. And then third, I don't think I want to read it.
That's a very specific magazine.
See, I miss the days of, like, I'm going to make myself sound like I'm 100 years old, when the Sears catalog would come in the mail, you know, the
East Bay.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see what they got. Yeah, he knows the magazines.
Exactly. There. What was the one that was like on the edge? It was was it Abercrombie and Fitch?
Oh yeah, my dad wouldn't let any of us wear that because he thought it was porn.
Now, they only knew how easy it was to get to. You didn't have to worry about it.
Yeah, all right, Russ. Kim Kardashian.
Keys to the game tomorrow.
I don't know. Look, let's exactly. Can I be honest with you?
Yeah. Have you thought about the game tomorrow?
No.
Yeah.
Here's why. I'm coaching the 6-year-old Classic City Super Bowl on Sunday.
Sunday at 2:00.
2:00, Cedar Shoals.
It's y'all are playing at Cedar.
The Titans versus the Downtown Falcons. You know it's a big deal when I saw Coach Donnan this week, and the first thing he said was, "Did y'all win the semis last week?" Yes, we did, baby.
We're what on was the score?
12-6.
Nice.
It was a battle.
Nice. So y'all covered the 3.5.
We did.
Or no, that's right. Y'all covered 3.
Yeah, we were the dogs.
That's right. So, yeah, that was an easy cover.
Yeah. So, here's our goal. We watched film with our guys this week. Told them to get ready. First play I showed them, said the first thing we're going to do, this time when we play the Falcons, we're not going to trip running out of the banner that opened the game. Because last time we tripped and all 18 boys hit the ground.
We're going to start out on film.
We do.
Yes.
We're going to start off this week strong.
Was that your motivational tactic to show them the film of that banner? Like, hey, you will not do this again.
Yeah. It was part of it.
That's awesome.
You know, there ain't nothing to say about the Georgia game. You know, much better players. UMass knows what's up. You know, they're just coming to get a paycheck. And, you know, the goal for us is not to get anybody hurt and let the guys that have worked their tails off on the scout team all year long play the second half. So, you know, let's do that. And then let's watch the Titans go out and take care of business on Sunday, the Classic City Super Bowl.
Sounds like a big weekend. There you go. Russ Tanner, Prime Lending, AthensLender.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.